So we're in the middle of this call of prayer and fasting, and last week it was very much about let's let the Word of God and then the Spirit of God, let's dedicate ourselves to reading the Word, and then let's commit ourselves to praying and giving up some things from the world to let the Word of God and the Spirit of God come together and do what never has been done before. Because as Genesis 1 showed us, literally when the Word of God and the Spirit of God come together, anything can happen. Anything can happen. So hopefully you've been experiencing that and getting a lot of great feedback about the Bible Project and that, and then just the prayer time. And what we talked about last week was let's reset our hearts for the Word and the Spirit to come in our life. I'm really so excited because I feel like today the other element that we want to refocus on is it's the Word and the Spirit, and then we need one more thing. It's a willing heart, right? We've got to be willing. And I tell you something, I don't know exactly how to describe this. I'm going to do a little different from first service. But literally, while I was in the middle of worship today, it has a lot to do with the Word. I saw this picture of trouble and brokenness and really just the curse of this world. Like it was trying to spread, and literally today, the Lord just drew a line and said no more. Mm-mm, no, like literally. So, and you'll see how it's going to pay attention to the Word. But I really feel like that's for many of us in this room this morning. So I want you to hold on to this. Because what we've read in Genesis 1 is that God creates the Garden of Eden. He creates this world. And it says three times in the creation account, he blesses. He blesses. So God, contrary to how some people feel about God, God created you and created this world to bless you, not to curse you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. And I want you to get this picture. I mean, here's this tree in the middle of a garden. There's actually two of them, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God says, look, Adam and Eve, instead of focusing on this tree, you know, and you deciding what do I think if I'm going to be in charge of determining good and evil, I want you to turn around because I've made this creation that's constantly spreading and constantly developing, and I want you to turn around and go chase after it. Like, just go find life. And find things that leave you in awe and leave you in worship and leave you in joy. Because I've created this whole thing and I've blessed you. I've blessed it. Go find it. But instead of moving out, they just think, no, I want to do things my way. So some of us, I mean, we say it all the time in church, bless you, right? Or may God bless you. We talk about God bless you. Well, what does that mean? Well, Genesis 1:26, and just side note, we're going to be in Genesis 22 reading the story of Abraham in a minute. But Genesis 1:26 when God talks about blessing, he says what to man? And you'll notice this formula throughout blessings when you go through each new member of the covenant story, each new generation. He says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. So that's blessing. When God blesses you, what he wants to do, he wants to make you fruitful, he wants to multiply you, he wants to fill you, and he wants to have you subdue. What are those things? Well, to be fruitful is to not waste something. So have you ever felt like, well, I just wasted that hour of my life? You know, what was that about, right? That's not being fruitful. But God, when he blesses you, everything you do has a reason. Nothing's wasted in your life, okay? So God wants to make you fruitful. He wants you to be like, man, that was productive. There was something of life in that. And then he wants to multiply you. Well, things that are multiplied, they're not alone, right? Because they're multiplied. And so God wants to make sure that you're not alone, that you feel love, and that you have unity with others. And then there's this issue of filling. Well, the opposite of filling is empty. God doesn't want to leave you empty and dissatisfied and a sense of purposelessness. No, what he wants to do is he wants to fill you with purpose. He wants to fill you with satisfaction. You know, Sarah and I are looking at our kids these days, and, you know, they're getting older. And, you know, every once in a while, we're like, we know how not good parents we are. How do these kids turn out so great? I mean, that's just like, that's awesome that they're so cool. And it's just, it's satisfying. But it's just there's this sense of fullness. It's like, this is really great. And then there's this idea of subduing, the idea that we should never be enslaved, we should never be a victim, we should never be defeated in life. Like, God wants us to rule and reign. And the things that want to rule over us, God wants us to rule over them. So no matter what challenge and hardship you face in your life, God has a way for you to subdue it. That's the victory of Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. So here's this idea. God creates this world and he blesses it. It's supposed to be fruitful. It's supposed to multiply and be part of fullness and be part of subduing. And yet man and women, they choose, no, we're going to do it ourselves. And what has happened in Genesis 3? But now there's a curse. So what God intended the world to be blessed, but now what is it? It's cursed. Genesis 3, around verse 17, where God talks to Adam and says, now the ground is cursed. You know, Adam, you're going to get some fruit from it, but you're going to work really hard. And even the woman, when she produces life, it's going to be in child. There's going to be pain in childbirth. Like now it's going to hurt to create life because before it was all supposed to naturally go this way. But now this world, instead of living under a blessing, is living under a curse. And we see it all the time. If you leave your body alone, it'll just decay. It'll just get bad. It'll get hurt. Why? Because it's under a curse in this world. That it's just things naturally break down. Any relationship in your life, if you want it to get bad, don't do any work. Just leave it alone. Because if you leave it alone, it's going to drift towards that because it's under a curse. And so here we are, this place where God meant to be blessing, meant to be places of being fruitful and multiply and fill full and victorious, and yet it's all breaking down now around us. God should at that point say, hey, you're bad. You should have followed me. But he says, no. What he does next in Genesis 3, 15 and 16 and 17, he says, no, I want to partner with you. And here's the word of the Lord for the day, to reverse the curse. I want you to partner with me on that. This is your greater purpose in life, to reverse the curse. Now, you're under it. But what I'm going to do, and really as we're now reading through the story of Adam and Eve and Seth and then Noah, and then we get to this guy Abraham, right? And literally today we're in Genesis 22. We're going to do today's reading for the Bible Project. Literally, this is a story of God continuing to reach out in covenant relationship. If you did not look at the video on the covenants from the Bible Project, absolutely take a look at it, all right? It's all about we're supposed to partner with God now to do what? Reverse the curse. So here's the deal. God creates this world that's just naturally blessed, and it doesn't even have to try, and it's just multiplying. And so what's spreading is good. But then man chooses sin, and you and I, every day, we choose selfishness, right? We choose our way over God's way. I know better than God. I've got the knowledge of good and evil, not God. And so what happens is now what's spreading is death. So that picture God gave me of families and situations where things are broken and God's drawing a line on it, so they say, no more, no more, uh-uh. Why? How's it going to happen? It's going to happen through you and me by his word and by his spirit. Why? Because we are now created to reverse the curse in Jesus Christ. That's what you and I do. That's what we spend our time doing. And so, you know, some of us think our purpose is just to hopefully get one more snow day, all right? Or, you know, get that job or get that promotion or get that girl or get that relationship or get that 401k or get 1K worth of likes on my Instagram. Or like, I don't know what you think your purpose is right now, but it's way bigger than what you're realizing. You're part of this great story of God. You are. You've got this role to play where God says, through you, I want to reverse the curse. And I want it to begin in you. But then I wanted to go so much more. And when we get to Genesis 12, here's this guy, Abraham, right? And God says, through you, Abraham, if you'll go where I want you to go, if you'll take this journey, if you'll go to this land you've never been, if you'll come follow me, I'm going to use you to reverse the curse throughout the world. I'm going to use you to be a blessing to all the families of the world. Genesis 12. And so Abraham says yes to this, and he says yes to this beginning. And yet, his life is not just like, it's not what you would say blessed in certain ways. It's not like, well, yeah, sure, it's easy to do that when your life is all good. Well, Abraham's life is not all good. I mean, his brother dies in Ur, his father dies in Haran, his wife is barren, his nephew's a selfish little, you know? I mean, it's just, Lot is just a lot of work, okay, is who he is. And there's famine in the land, and he makes a huge mistake in Egypt, and you know, dishonors God, and then he comes back, and then, you know, these guys are still, I mean, it's just at every turn, life's not like, life is requiring faith, even though Abraham's blessed and to be a blessing. And let's not forget, by the time we get to Genesis 22, it's been 35 years since God said, this is your land, and he doesn't have a lick of it yet. 35 years later. But in this moment, God keeps speaking to him, and God keeps, this relationship is growing, and Abraham comes to this day, and it's a story some of us have heard someplace at least, called the sacrifice of Isaac, where when his wife finally does have a son at age 90, she's 90, he's 100, when it finally happens. I mean, God does a miracle, and we finally gets to this point. God says, you know what? I want you to give me back what I gave to you. And this is the story. And what this story really is about is what it looks like for you and I to have a willing heart when the Word of God comes to us and asks us to walk by faith. So would you follow along? Genesis 22. Here we go. After so many things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of God, of which God had told him. Verse 4, on the third day, in the scripture, it's always 2 days of preparation for a special meeting with God on the third day, including the resurrection of Christ. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, and I think God's saying this today to us, God will provide for himself. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the Lord, the name of the place the Lord will provide. And as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your own son, your only son, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you obeyed my voice. Notice again in verse 17 to 18, the very formula of blessing that started in Genesis 1:26. I'll multiply your offspring. They're going to possess the gates of the enemy. They're going to be blessed. The very same. And why? Because I've obeyed. Because Abraham's obeyed what? The word of God is what happened. So here we are. Abraham is in this place where he not only reverses the curse in himself, but reverses the curse in his family and is used to reverse the curse throughout the world. That's your greater purpose in life. And that's how you, that should be the big perspective you look at everything with. That, why is that person being like that? Why can't we get this life? Why? Well, because this world is in this curse. And by the way, if, in case you've forgotten, you do have an enemy. There is a spiritual war going on. And instead of making it about people, and think about this, joining in to confirm the curse, because every time you complain, every time you condemn, every time you accuse, what are you doing? But you're adding agreement to the curse. Like, does anybody really, I mean, just, obviously there's places we confront, there's places we deal with things, but by and large, most people already know where they're at. And we're not supposed to be partnering with the enemy to make the curse stronger in families and in workplaces and in schools and community. We're supposed to be doing the opposite. We're supposed to be partnering with God to reverse the curse. And as we're in this time of prayer and fasting, I think we need to hear that in a fresh way. It really starts with listening to God's word. I mean, isn't one of the hallmarks of this story Abraham saying, here am I. Here am I. God, what do you want to say to me? You know, Abraham, the thing that just happened, the two things that just happened before Genesis 22 is one, he had to be separated from his oldest son, Ishmael, and his second wife, right? He had to watch them go. And then Abimelech, this guy's trying to shaft him, and he's like, I can't ever just even have a well. You know, someone's always trying to steal. I mean, like, life's going on. And there's a lot that Abraham could be kind of just complaining about or paying attention to, but God's word calls out to Abraham, and what does Abraham do? He says, here I am. I'm listening to you. What do you have to say? He could be saying, God, there's a lot I want to tell you about everything that's going on. No, here I am, God. And you and I have to have that same mentality. That's what these 2 weeks are about, is we're fasting the world and feasting on God's word. We're saying, God, here I am. And I just want to say this. Nothing's going to change until you listen to God's word. I'm just telling you. I mean, you can talk to all your buddies, and you can have plans, and money can show up. Nothing's changing until you hear the word of God. Because the word of God created life, and the word of God can restore life. And that's what we need. And we live in this world where all these other voices are trying to overwhelm us. And the enemy's using this cursed world to try to overwhelm us. So you've got to make a decision to stop hearing all the other voices. You've got to separate yourself and say, I'm going to hear from God instead. And sometimes it's a big, drastic thing, and sometimes it's just small. You know, one of the biggest things, the biggest changes I made for our 2 weeks of fast, I made a few, but I tell you the one that probably is the most significant, yeah, at least in the practical sense, I deleted my ESPN app from my phone. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? I deleted my ESPN app because I tend to, when I'm just hanging out, yeah, I wonder who won or what's going on. Like, I tend to do that. I was like, no, these 2 weeks are about, if I got any extra time, I'm not going to like go talk to ESPN, tell you what, I'm going to be like, what does God want to say to me? And I've made another commitment that if I watch anything, it's only with my family. So like, I'm not going to just go watch something by myself. If I'm by myself, I could be talking to God. I don't need to be go watching that. So there, that's some of the choices I made these 2 weeks. And we got this last week left. And you can make some of those choices. And what are you doing in that moment? You're saying, God, here I am. Like, you're the answer. Like, you know, there are things I'm frustrated about, things that need to be fixed. I'm going to go to you about it. And so that's what we want to do. We want to choose to listen. Stephen, can I get the next slide, please? We want to choose to listen. And I want you to remember that spiritual warfare, which you are in, a spiritual war. Now, whether you're winning or not is kind of up to you. You're in it. You can't avoid it. But spiritual warfare, it is about partnering with God to reverse the curse of sin and Satan. And here's how. Through wholehearted obedience to God's word. It's not a magic formula. It's not a religious chant. It's not if I take a certain class. What it is when God says it, I'm going to do it. That's spiritual warfare. When you obey the word of God, you've got more authority than anything else. And so what we want to do is we want to keep growing in knowing the Word of God. And I've been getting text out the, I've been getting text after text about people say, these are all texts from my phone, about everybody loving the Bible. And I got way more than that. And people are like, man, this is like, Pastor Sean, I am on this. I am on this. I want to encourage you, if you're not part yet, jump in. After the service, go to the Connection Center, or right out there, there's a table. They can get you started. Don't worry about making things up. Just start where we are, because that day is a day God wants to speak to you. Now, it begins there, but in the end, like the story of Abraham shows, you've got to listen, but then you got to be willing to let go of something, all right? You got to be willing to let go of something. You got to be willing to say, God, I'm going to choose to focus on you. Now, most of you have recognized that I've been wearing these things a lot more since my eyes are doing wonderful things. And here's the great thing. When I put these on, things that are right in front of me, I actually get it. I like recognize what's right in front of me. It's there. It's right there. But unless I go like this, I can't understand what is right in front of my face, okay? So I've got to choose to take something and say, okay, help me see what's right in front of me. And the other interesting thing is when I do that, now that I focus here, other things get blurry. Other things get blurry now because when I choose to focus here, I can't focus there, okay? Now, you and I, God has answers right in front of you. But until you put this thing on right here, you're not going to see them and you're not going to understand them. A matter of fact, they're going to look like problems to you. And they're going to look like frustrations to you. But if you will put this on and make this your perspective, you will see right in front of you what God is doing. Funny thing is, because you'll be focused here, that person who used to annoy you so much, not going to annoy you as much anymore. That one thing that was you were worried about, so much about, not going to worry about it so much more. Why? Because your focus is not there anymore. Your focus is here. Your focus is in the place of truth. So that's what you and I do. We've got to choose in these places, what will we let go? And I really feel like the Lord, off of this story of Abraham, has a word for many of us. I mean, like the word of God for you today. And it's really that second line, but let me build up to it. To reverse the curse, you can't worship what you have now. Like, you've got to hold it lightly, like it's got to be all God's and not yours. But here's the word I think the Lord wants to give many of us in this room. Nothing you have right now is the end of what God wants to give you. I want you to really think about it. Nothing you have right now is the end of what God wants to give you. Man, doesn't that change how you hold on to what you have? It's like, this isn't even the end. But some of us who are trying to work out life by ourselves outside of God, maybe the best we're doing is like, God, I'd like you to bless my stuff, but I don't really want to know you, so I'm going to try to work on it myself. All right? But when we get close to God, what we're going to see is just like God was saying, look, I gave you Isaac. I gave, but I need you to know I'm not finished. If I want him back, I want you to give him back to me. All right? What you have is not the end of the story. Well, I thought, I mean, isn't Isaac the end? I mean, how else am I going to grow into this great? Isaac's the end of the story. He must be the end of the story. No, if I want him back, I want you to give him back. And Hebrews 11 will say that Abraham actually just trusts that somehow that God can raise him from the dead. In a certain way that happened because he got Isaac back in this new level of faith, in this new gift and joy that God is faithful. And you and I, there's some things we need to remember. What we have right now is not the end, all right? That God's got more. He wants to be more. He wants you to be fruitful, multiply. So what you have is not the end. But I want you to hear this. Some of us feel like the curse in our life is the end of what we have. And you need to hear it's not the end. Your story is not over. And that issue of like, well, our family's always like this, and I'm always like that, and my life always goes this way. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold up. You're supposed to partner with God to reverse that curse. So don't forget that that's what you're called to do. I put these two things down. You know, in Abraham's story, Really, first of all, he has to give up Ishmael, which was a work of his own flesh, right? He has to give that up, and that created all sorts of strife. So he actually, I mean, it broke his heart, but in a sense, it was like, that was something not of God, I got to give up. Some of us, we're going through some things that are really bad in our lives, and we need to give them up again. Like, and we're going to hear testimony about that in a minute. And some of us, we got these great things in our life. There are these great blessings, but we need to just treat it like an ingredient, not the meal at the end of the you know, the process. You know, if Sarah sent me to Walmart and said, hey, give back a bag of chocolate chips because I want to make you your favorite chocolate chip cookies, you know, and I brought it back home, I mean, I'm going to confess, I have tended to open up the bag and pop a few chips, you know, because they're like, I just, chocolate, praise the Lord, all right? I mean, that's where I'm at, all right? And if Sarah came to me and said, hey, now I need you to give me the ingredient because I want to make you the final product, and I'd be like, no, this is good right here. And she's like, what are you talking about? It's just like, man, give me, it's an ingredient. It's not the end. Look, there's some good things you've got in your life, but they're just ingredients. They're not even the finish. So I know you're like enjoying chewing on them. Like, they're pretty tasty. It's like, give it to God if God wants it back. Give it to God. Let him use it, all right? And we've got to, I mean, in the words of the old Disney hymnal, let it go, okay? Just let it go. Let God have it. And in the end then, we've got to live it out. And obedience is the key. Notice what God says. God says, I will surely bless you. In other words, I'm reversing the curse in and through you. And through your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Abraham, I you heard my voice. You knew what to let go of. You lived it out. And here's the blessing. All right, that's what God wants to do in you and me. Look, the key to victory, there is no greater act of spiritual warfare than obeying God's word. It's what we live out more than speak out or attend that most determines our ability to reverse the curse for ourselves and others. Everybody got that? All right, now, intercession's important. Abraham does it for Lot. Poor Lot gets that and still is miserable the rest of his life. But Abraham's interceding for him, helping him out. But in the end, what I want to do, I mean, when Jesus walks through a crowd and demons show up, they respond because Jesus is everything true and right. And he doesn't have to be like, demons, where are you? They just like see him go, whoa, you know, like, I'm backing off. Don't torture me, Jesus. Why? Because it's who we are more than anything else we do and say. It's how we live out the truth. And we want to intercede. We want to pray hard for our loved ones. But in the end, they've got to do this too. You know, you can rebuke the enemy for someone else, but they've got to renounce the enemy for themselves eventually. I mean, it's got to happen. They've got to do it themselves. And so what you want to do in your spiritual warfare, you want to say, Lord, I want to claim a promise. But more than that, I want to know I'm living out the promise, all right? It's all about that. So last week of fasting, last week of this time, hopefully we'll keep breathing and some of these changes will stay permanent in us. But Lord, is there anything new you want me to live out? I'm kind of like, I don't like the result, but I'm the one making my bed. I'm the one in disobedience in this area. Lord, what should I live out?
And so there's a whole list.
We're going to get to that one.
Whether it's my gender.
So let me talk real quick. So where does this all happen? First of all, the word of the Lord. God wants to reverse the curse in your family. All right? And that means he wants to use you. So the Bible's all about responding in the opposite spirit. I was with my kids the other day, and we were talking about a parenting aspect that they actually liked in our parenting. And they were asking me what was my secret. And I said this. I said, I decided a long time ago I was going to be the emotional leader, not the emotional follower in my family. So just because my kid was in a funk wasn't mean I was going to respond by being in a funk with them. Just because my kid wasn't happy didn't mean I wasn't going to be happy. Like, I wasn't going to be the emotional follower in my family. I was going to be the emotional leader in my family. Which equates to being the spiritual leader, right? Because you do that in the opposite spirit. So sometimes, you know, that idea of the kids like, you know, the parents like, my kids don't listen, they don't like that. And it's like you're following your kid. Stop following your kid and lead your kid, all right? Don't pick up their attitude. You let them pick up your attitude, all right? And that's how I do what? I reverse the curse, all right? I ask the Lord to fill me with the opposite spirit and begin to work that out. Now, here's another way I do it in my family. At some point, instead of me just agreeing with everybody else that this person has a cursed aspect of their life, someone needs to treat them in a way that allows them to start again. Because how are they ever going to change from curse to blessing if everybody keeps treating them like a curse? So that means for you and I, with wisdom, and you know there's plenty of mature Christians you could talk to here to learn how to do it well, I need to give people a chance to start again. And I can't just be all frustrated because I don't want to partner with the enemy to reinforce the curse in life. You'll never change. You never. I've got some neighbors like, they're never going to go to church. It just frustrates me so much. I've invited 1,000 times, right? And it's like, and the Lord literally this week was like, why don't you go say hi to them? I don't want to talk to them anymore. Sean? Okay. Hey, you know, it's like, why don't you drop the attitude? And why don't you participate in the change, not just lament what's wrong? Okay? That's what you and I need to do in our family. I did it with an extended family member, one that's just, you know, kind of like never going to change person. I was like, you know what? I need to reach out to them again. I reached out to them and just said hi. And I was like, you're nice. What happened? Like, where'd that come from? Yeah. And I wouldn't have known it. I mean, things were going on in their life, and I didn't realize what was going on because we weren't really talking all that much. You know, I was like, oh, there's not really a reason to talk to them. I was like, no, reach out. Let's give them a chance to reverse the curse. Let's be part of it by doing what? Give them a chance to start again. No marriage works without someone saying, I will give you a chance to start again. All right? And in different aspects, we need to do that. So you saw before in the announcements, praying for the board of supervisors. Now, of course, since it's politics and it's community, and I'm part, like I'm the chairman of social services, so our board meeting that's open to the public is at the least accessible time possible. So, you know, this way you don't have a bunch of people showing up, so don't tell anybody I said that, but that's how that works. So board of supervisors is not a convenient time. It's Wednesdays at 6 p.m., all right? But what I'm asking is at least, I mean, I don't know if I could dream this big. I'd love for 100 of us to show up, all right? And what I do is I read it. We show up at 5:45, at 6 o'clock. I'm there. If there's business, maybe it's 15 minutes, then I get up. And I share a resolution of blessing and prayer over our county leadership and our county. In Jesus' name, I do it. It's really cool. And what are we doing in that moment? We're supposed to partner with God to reverse the curse in our county. Now, the funny thing is, last time, there was probably like 50 or 60 of us that showed up, and literally, one of the board of supervisor members was like, I walked in the room, and I figured someone's angry about something. Because they're not used to having a crowd at the board of supervisors unless someone's ticked off about something. It was like, no, we all actually came to say, we're thankful for you, and we're praying for you. Blew them away. All right, so if you would, if there's even a chance that you can come out and join us. We don't have any services here on Wednesday night. Would you put that in the connection card, even if you just think you might be able to come, and we'll send you an email so you know how to get there. But it would mean so much to reversing the curse in our county if you specifically would show up to that, because that's what we're about. We're not just going to sit there and keep echoing the curse. I don't like this, and I'm not happy about this. Like, no, we're actually going to reverse the curse and do the opposite. But in the end, where does it all boil down to? It's just me and you. Like, the curse has got to get reversed here. And the Bible says that Jesus became a curse for us so we could be what? Become the righteousness of God. I mean, in Christ, this curse, this thing, these places that I don't even like me, all right, they can change. And it starts by, we've been talking about every time I say, here I am, Lord, to the Word of God, what I'm really saying is, Jesus, here I am. And last week, I shared a testimony of a businessman and his discovery. And the Lord showed me, I didn't even know he was coming, showed me a testimony of a great woman of God. Her name's Christine Kane. Anybody know she's a speaker, Christine Kane? She said, man, I heard this testimony. I was like, I've got to share this testimony. So I want you to hear this testimony. Stephen, would you play it for me? I had to shorten it.
There's a whole list.
Reverse the curse.
Whether it's my gender, my ethnicity, my socioeconomic background, my education background, that I could have used as limiting factors in my past, as excuses to not step into the future that Jesus promised me. And then pretty much every week of my life, more often than not, several times a week, for as long as I have any memory or recollection, I was sexually abused by four men for 12 years. And that messes with you. And when it starts as young as it did, it messes with every part of you. I never went from one stage of development in my life to the other in any healthy way. And there was a lot of damage done from when I was a very, very young girl. I was a young woman that was so full of unforgiveness. I was so angry. I was so full of bitterness. I was so full of shame. I was so full of guilt. And I was so full of condemnation. And the reason why it gets so quiet in a room this size is because you don't need to be a prophet to work out that with several thousand people, inevitably there are many, many of you that in some way, shape or form, whether it's sexual or physical or emotional or spiritual, understand exactly what it is to have encountered that kind of trauma and that kind of pain. The word abuse, the Oxford Dictionary says, is to use an object for a purpose for which it was never designed. And for 12 years, I was used for a purpose for which God never designed me to be used. So I was messed up. My soul was damaged and extremely wounded. My mind was so messed up. I was so far away from having any God thoughts about myself. And I believed the lies of the enemy, that I was nothing, that I would become nothing, that I was just some dumb, stupid, ethnic girl. And the only thing that was worth happening to someone like me was being abused, because that's what you do with someone that has no value and that is worthless. So many of us can sell out to the lies of the enemy. I tell people, you know, I fit almost every government funding category in Australia. I was like a marginalized, oppressed, dispossessed, poor, ethnic, minority, abused, adopted chick. Like I was just like everything. I could have made a fortune on government funding. Because what they do is they fund people like me. They give me a label and they say victim, and we'll pay you every week and remind you what you were or what you are, and we'll keep you in that box. So I'm in the kitchen. My mother walks in and she says to me in Greek, Christina, since we're telling the truth, you're a very quick church. Since we're telling the truth, do you want to know the whole truth? I froze. I turned around. I don't even know why I said this initially. I went, I've been adopted too. And with tears streaming down her face, my mum just started nodding her head. And I was stunned. I mean, I didn't say anything for a few minutes, which in and of itself was a miracle greater than the resurrection of Jesus. But anyway, so I didn't say anything. And then in the next breath, the first thing that I said, I went, am I still Greek? And that was it. Because I was called a lot of names at school for a lot of years. And I wanted to know there was a reason for all of that mocking and taunting. And so I went, am I still Greek? And then the very next thing that came out of my mouth, right there in my Greek Orthodox mother's kitchen, I went, oh, well, Mum, before I was formed in my mother's womb, whose ever womb that was, he knew me. He knitted together my innermost parts. He fashioned all of my days before as yet there was one of them. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. My mother looked at me like I'd been smoking crack. And so I was just kind of like, it just came out of my spirit. The word that I had put in, John says, if you abide in my word, then you will know the truth, and then the truth will make you free. If you're not in his word, you won't know the truth, so you can't be free. So when the enemy came to say, Christine, you were adopted, and to try to shock me into some kind of downward spiral, the way you combat him in that moment is with the truth of God's word. Because although I was shocked in that moment, God wasn't. It's not that God was in heaven in his throne going, oh my God, no, I am God. What am I going to do? Peter, did you know she was adopted? Whoa, quick, someone get the files. I mean, really. This is God. He was not shocked. From before the foundations of the earth, he knew that was going to happen. And so that moment, and I guess really in many ways in that moment, everything, every fact that I thought to be true about my life changed, no doubt about it. my background, my heritage, where I was born, who I was born to, who my parents were, what my early documents of my life, all that had changed. And to this morning, I don't know the facts surrounding my conception. Although I've tried to find out, I have no idea. I don't know if I was the result of an ongoing adulterous affair. I don't know if I was the result of a one-night stand. I don't even know if I was the result of a rape. But although I do not know the facts, I have discovered that there is a force on the planet much higher than the facts, and it's called the truth of the Word of God. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 does not say that I am the workmanship of a rape. It does not say that I am the workmanship of an adulterous affair. It says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You and I are not a product of time, we're a product of eternity. God has plucked us out of eternity, He has positioned us in time, and He has given us gifts and talents for the purpose of serving our generation. Now the enemy sent an assignment to steal, kill and destroy my life when I was still in my mother's womb. When that did not work, he sent another assignment into my bedroom to try to steal, kill and destroy my life when I was 3 years old, and continued that for over a decade. But the whole purpose of the cross of Jesus Christ is to give us a life beyond all of that, not to get stuck in that past. I can't change that. But God said to Jesus, would you go from heaven to earth? Would you die on a cross and shed your blood and rise again from the dead so that Christine and all of humanity could have not only forgiveness for that past, but a brand new life and a hope for the future? The redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross is what sets us free to have the courage to let go of our past and lay a hold of the future. Our past does not need to define our future if we allow the work of the cross to take effect in our lives.
Yeah, good, right? She is actually the head of an anti-human trafficking organization now across the world, and where the enemy had placed his plan of cursing to continue to steal, kill, and destroy, Christ reversed that curse, and now literally through her life, families around the world are being blessed. And that's not just the story. That's not supposed to be the story of some famous, that's not supposed to be the story of someone who gets up on a stage. That's the story of every one of us. Like, that's how God wants to use every one of us. But we've got to have that willing heart to say, I'm willing to listen, I'm willing to let go, and Lord, by your grace, I want to live it out. And instead of looking at life and feeling like a victim or feeling or just echoing the curses and the dysfunctionality and the problems, say, and just joining in and complaining, we're supposed to be the other person in that. We're supposed to partner with God to reverse the very curse there, because he's called to do that. It begins with this word right here, and it begins with inviting his spirit to come on in. So we had some really powerful moments and decisions in first service for some people who realized the curse they've been walking under for a long time and what Christ wanted to do with that. And I know that in this room there's some ways God wants to say, hey, choose my blessing. Choose my blessing. You don't have to accept that curse anymore in your life. So I'm going to ask Pastor Brandon to come up, because I feel like it's a word we need to have a moment of worship with. We just say, Lord, for me, I say yes. And I'm going to invite you to stand, if you would. And it all begins by accepting Christ. There's no curse. Only Christ himself is the one who cancels the curse in our life. And I'm just going to ask you right now, and I'm not going to ask you to demonstrate it outwardly, because I don't know what that means to you to do that. But I just wonder if there's a place you feel cursed. A place you feel like, this never goes right for me. This never works. Would you invite Christ in that place today? Say, Lord, I am going to not believe the facts about life. I'm going to believe the truth of your word. So would you just take that moment, Lord, if there's any place that any of my brothers and sisters feel cursed, feel like it's never going to go well, that the only thing that multiplies is problems and pain and hardship, Lord, today is the day. You already spoke it to me in worship, that you draw a line and say that curse goes no further in your life. Lord, Abraham had to give up what he thought was the answer to everything. Some of us have developed such protection, coping skills, and such control, and such hardness, or such pride, or I don't know what it is, but we need a fresh moment to say, Lord, I surrender it all to you again. Lord, let every person in this place, every person watching online today, let them know that the blessing begins today. Let's just take a moment of worship, Pastor Brandon. Really feel like it's a very sacred moment, like Abraham giving up Isaac, that literally was, it really changed the course of the world, that he chose to say yes. I just feel like too, like the Lord's showing some people here, why don't I ever let them have a new beginning? And the answer is because I feel like I don't have one. The Lord says it's really not about them, it's about you. Would you let me come in? And would you let me? Would you choose my word and my ways? And I don't do this often, but I really feel like in the midst of this sacred 2 weeks and this time that the Lord is ready to respond to us humbling ourselves. And so if you're physically able, I'm going to invite you in this next moment, whether you want to come up at the altar or just do that at your seat. And if you're not able, you could just sit and humbly bow your head. But I just feel like this is a moment to humble ourselves before God. and just bow our knee. And so if you're able, I'm just going to invite you to do that, whether you want to do that up front or you just want to do that where you are. And again, if you can't do that physically, you could just sit and bow your head. Lord, you're beginning such a new thing. And Lord, we just want to, in this moment, kneel. Lord, it's been a long time for some of us since we've knelt down in your presence. It's humbling. We don't stand in our strength. We don't look like we're in control. But Lord, that's kind of what you're waiting for in our life. You want to be in control. Because when you're in control, things are fruitful and they multiply and they get filled and the wrong things get subdued. Lord, this is my prayer. I'm just going to invite you to, if there's a loved one next to you, to maybe grab their hand in this moment of this time where you're humbled together. Lord, together we humble ourselves. We can't fix us. We can't even be the partner you want us to be with you unless by Jesus you do it. But we just humble ourselves right now. And we say, Lord, come, here I am. And whatever you want us to let go of, though we think we have no future if we let go of it, we're willing to today. And we want to live out your word, that the curse would be reversed in us and through us. Let it begin in us. Let it come to the people that are most precious to us. Lord, I believe today is a day of just a very fresh work, very new beginning. A day where you would say in a new way that you would have this blessing spoken over your people. That the Lord would bless you and keep you. That the Lord would make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That the Lord would lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Oh Lord, if there's any way that if you can help us not get in the way, not our own thoughts, not our fears, not our attitudes, put new glasses of your word on our hearts and our lives. Because we are thankful that you've given us breath to breathe and chances to do better. Lord, reverse the curse. And if we've been someone of few words and you want us to share love, then give us a grace to do that. And if we've been a person of a lot of words and it's time just to be quiet and love and listen, then give us a grace to do that. Make us who you want us to be. We trust you. And Lord, the other thing I just hear is don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of you. You don't be ashamed. You are in me. And my word is who you are. And my calling to be a blessing is who you are. Trust me. Trust me. If you feel like we're just going to have one more moment, if you feel like you need to say to that person that you're praying with or kneeling with, just say, just these simple words you can say to each other, Lord, we agree. Lord, use us to be a blessing and bless us, we pray. You just say that, just a moment. Feel free to do that with anybody near you if you want to for a moment. If not, just agree with the Lord in the Spirit right now. Thank you for true strength, true joy, true victory. We choose to walk in your blessing because of Jesus Christ. We finish praying the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You are blessed. Be a blessing. Please turn in your connection card. God bless you as you go.